defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls live in just a few moments. Again, that number, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. But as we open the broadcast today, I do want to mention that each year during Christmas, I communicate the truth concerning Christ coming in flesh. And this year, as Randy was just talking about, I want to take the truths of Christmas and turn them for you into a Christmas tradition. So the purpose of the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you will likewise prepare your heart for Christmas. So as the culture begins promoting Christmas shopping the day after Thanksgiving, I want Christians to begin preparing their hearts for the celebration of Christ's birth. It is my hope and prayer that this year, you will use this devotional to begin a Christmas tradition that carries on until the year in which you meet your Savior face to face, and that even in your absence, your loved ones will carry on a tradition of celebrating the Advent of Jesus Christ. We talk about an Advent of Jesus Christ in the sense that it's a celebration of the coming of Jesus Christ, and if you can't celebrate that, what can you celebrate? But when we celebrate the Advent or the coming of Jesus Christ, never forget that we are simultaneously celebrating another Advent. For Christ has promised that he will indeed appear a second time. And when he does, he will put all things to right. The dead will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. This universe, which now groans in travail, will be liberated from its bondage to decay. That is our hope. That is our destiny. And it is a certain hope and destiny in that Christ rose from the dead. Therefore, we know that we too will rise. And if that is true, our celebration is not a pagan celebration, but it's a poignant celebration. We are celebrating what no pagan tradition can celebrate, because we are celebrating that which corresponds to reality. We are celebrating the coming of Christ in flesh. And only Christ could do what we could never do, which is, as God, his payment was sufficient to atone for the sins of the world. But as man, he is the second Adam, and therefore legitimately our representative to a lost and searching world. Again, the Heart of Christmas, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. If you want a personalized copy of the Heart of Christmas, I'd be pleased to send that to you for a gift of $100 or more. Or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, you can do all of that online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. Or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants as well. Again, that number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, your questions answered live on air today when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, Jake, listening in Grand Island, Nebraska on Bot Radio. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I got two things. I got a comment and then a question, I guess. The first one is about the Darwin's theory of the theory, and I'm a Christian. The people that believe in Darwin's theory, his first couple of research papers papers that he had written, and I don't know if you know this, or and it's not a lot of, not really common knowledge, but in his first couple research papers that he had written, he had mentioned that whether, in his theory, we came from a single-cell organism, or there was multi-single-cell organisms, he gave credit that there was a creator, and no matter how small it was, that there was a creator that made those organisms. And not a lot of people know that, and the reason I know that is because the guy that goes to my brother's church has an original copy of that, and since for even those people that believe in that, in his theory, it all comes back to even he said there was a creator, and that has been taken out because just like nowadays, when we don't like things, we change them. If we don't like how marriage is, we change the definition of marriage, and so on and so forth. And so people, his fellow researchers after him, have changed that and have taken that out of there.
Well, first of all, there's no question whatsoever that Darwin at one point in his life said he was an orthodox believer. In fact, I have a quote in one of my books whereby Charles Darwin says, whilst on board the Beagle, I was quite orthodox, and I remember being heartily laughed at by several of the officers, though themselves orthodox, for quoting the Bible as an unanswerable authority on some point of morality. But Darwin also said this in Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, which is his magnum opus. When it was first said that the sun stood still and the world turned round, the common sense of humankind declared the doctrine false. But the old saying, voice of the people, voice of God, as every philosopher knows, cannot be trusted in science. And ultimately, Darwin opted not for Orthodox Christianity, but for the notion that everything could be explained through the process of natural selection, working by random processes. So Darwin, whilst he said he started out an Orthodox believer, his belief was shattered as a result of embracing the evolutionary paradigm. And when I'm talking about evolution here, I'm not talking about microevolution, I'm talking about macroevolution, the idea that kinds evolve into different kinds. And I've said this on the broadcast before, but the Cambrian explosion has uprooted Darwin's tree of life and demonstrated beyond a peradventure of a doubt that Darwin's theory of evolution is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment.
Yeah, that's very well put. And so I guess that covers that comment slash question, I guess. And then second one real quick. I heard you talk before about the age of the Earth, and I believe in a young Earth, as in, you know, roughly 6,000 years. And if I'm wrong, then please just tell me. But from my understanding, you believe maybe in a little bit of an older of an Earth, maybe measured in millions or billions of years. And I've heard you use the illustration of light years, how long the light years take for to get from the sun to the Earth. And if you look in the sky at night, you could see a star in its infancy and see a star that's about ready to die and burn out. And that takes millions of years for those things to happen, that as scientists can read now. I firmly believe that if God wants there to be light from the sun to the Earth, which would take, you know, millions of light years, but if he wants that to happen in 1 second, he can have that happen in 1 second. I feel that if we say those things about the stars and the sun, that we might be limiting God on his power and say that he has to wait for those things to come around. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, I guess.
Well, first of all, I don't disagree with your premise. I mean, God can, in fact, do that. The question is, did he? And I think that's really how we have modern science to begin with. It came as a result of thinkers like Augustine, who believed that we could, in fact, read the book of nature, not only could, but should, with the same diligence that we apply to reading the Bible. And therefore, we need to be students of the book of nature. And the book of nature, like the Bible, is not full of lies or full of deception. It's a textbook that we can trust. that's really what gave birth to Christian universities. It's what gave birth to the whole mechanism of science to begin with. It is men of science, men of God, learning to think God's thoughts after him. So whether the universe is old or young is a function of learning to read God's book of nature. And of course, Psalms talks about both the book of nature and the Bible, one being special revelation, the other being general revelation. And again, I think that if you read the book of nature correctly, it points to an old universe, not to a young earth. If you look at the Bible doesn't really weigh in on the issue. The Bible doesn't give us a chronology of creation. It gives us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind.
Sure. Yeah, that's some good stuff, I guess. So, well, that answers some of my questions and my comments and my thoughts and stuff. So I'll let you get on with it and get some other people in there. And I appreciate your broadcast and for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Jake. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Mike in Bakersfield, California, listening on KERI. Hi, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about a person I saw on the YouTube video. His name is Jefferson Bertke, B-E-T-H-K-E. I just wonder if you've ever heard of him, because his video says, "Why I Hate Religion and Love Jesus." I just wonder if you have any insight on him.
You know, he is someone that I am not familiar with at present. But our research department can do some research, and if you leave your information, we can give you an answer.
Okay, thank you very much on that. Also, Sid Roth, have you ever heard of him?
Yes, and I would say stay as far away from his sensationalism, sophistry, and sloppy journalism as you possibly can. In fact, I was doing some research just yesterday and watching a few of his videos. It's selling, sensationalism, sophistry, sloppy journalism, script torture, a whole bunch of S's, but they all apply to Sid Roth.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your answer.
You're welcome. Also want to mention the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can get a one-year subscription to the journal for $35. We right now have a free promotional issue available. That's 7 issues for only $35. You can subscribe online at equip.org and use the special offer code TRUTH. The Christian Research Journal deals with cutting-edge issues, and it is available, again, online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants, that number, 888-CRI. 7000 and the letters CRI. I also want to mention the Creation Answer Book. We were talking earlier about Darwin's Tree of Life. So many people today are unaware that the Darwinian evolutionary paradigm is about ready for a fatal fall, and we should be on the vanguard of demonstrating that the Darwinian paradigm is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. Unfortunately, what Christians are doing all too often is they're embracing different permutations of Darwin's theory, or trying to cohere Darwin's theory to Christian principles. The two simply cannot be reconciled. They stand in opposition to one another. If you want to believe in evolution, that's fine, but don't blame God for it. It's cruel, it's inefficient, and it flies in the face of all evidence, again, that is accessible to us in an age of scientific enlightenment. So the Creation Answer Book, available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift. Again, I'll be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the Creation Answer Book to you, a family member, or a friend. How you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. If you believe that you're a function of undirected, purposeless processes, you're going to live by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him. The Creation Answer Book provides clear, concise answers to questions that stumble seekers and solidify skeptics in opposition to a biblical worldview. And it is available again through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. Again, that number, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. As we go to break, a reminder once again that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We hope that you'll be one of those that does just that this month, the month of December, which is a very significant month for us in terms of income for the ministry. So if you can give generously, and again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can do it via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, the number once again, 888-7000. Sierra, we'll be right back with answers to your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
December is an important time at the Christian Research Institute when we plan next year's ministry. CRI is entirely listener-supported, and we're relying on God's provision through friends like you for the funds we need to finish 2012 strong and start 2013 on a firm foundation for ministry. Your gift today helps bring more of the resources you depend on into your life and many others. Please partner with us at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org to give your tax-deductible gift today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org.
Music.
The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder, all that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. Muslims, too, believe that their founder stands apart and that his book, the Quran, is the greatest apologetic. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal delves into a comparison of the central figures of Islam and Christianity. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Fred. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I have just a quick question. It's related to the what is claimed as the absence of any historical evidence of or mention of Jesus in the Roman history. It was basically something I picked up online. Somebody was answering a question for somebody else, and he mentioned that there is no mention of Jesus in anything related to the Roman history, so that's why he doesn't believe in Jesus or the Bible. So I, not knowing anything about that, I thought I would kind of run that by you. Is that true? There is no mention of Jesus in the history books, mainly the Roman kind of history?
No, it's completely false. In fact, you can piece together highlights of the life of Jesus Christ wholly apart from the Bible on the basis of Roman history. When we're speaking about Roman history, I would first of all mention Flavius Josephus, who was a Jew writing to please the Romans. He very clearly mentions Jesus Christ and the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ in graphic detail. And then, of course, there are people like the Roman Tacitus, who was the greatest first century historian of the ancient Roman Empire. And he chronicles the death of Christ, who he says suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. Suetonius, who was a contemporary of Tacitus, he was best known for the 12 Caesars. He's also well known for gathering historical data from eyewitnesses, and he clearly talks about Jesus Christ as well. Plinius the Younger, another historian, a contemporary of Suetonius and Tacitus, wrote about Jesus Christ. So there's ample evidence about Jesus Christ as a historical figure in the writings of Roman historians.
Thank you very much. Definitely. I'm just how surprised that can people, we can perish from the lack of knowledge. And that's why I appreciate your ministry providing the information to everybody.
You know what might be helpful to you if you hang on? I can send you out a flip chart that I just put together last month. It's called MAPS. And what this does is it gives you in a flip chart format most of this information, and it also chronicles the evidence for this information so that you know that it comes from reliable sources.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Willard. He's listening in Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Willard.
Hi. I don't believe the world or the universe is millions of years old. I don't know where you get that from.
Well, as I said, people are divided in the Christian camp as to how old the universe is. What I'm saying is that what we have to do is carefully read general revelation just as we carefully read the Bible. And if you read general revelation and come up with a 6,000-year-old universe, all the more power to you. But I think the real issue here, again, is to read carefully the imprimatur that God has placed on the universe in which we reside. I think it's incumbent upon us to do that. My personal view that the universe is older than thousand years old is articulated for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is, as mentioned earlier in the broadcast, is if you look at the night sky, you can see a star in infancy. You can see a star in midlife. You can see a white dwarf star that's burned out its nuclear fusion. All of that takes time, and that time can be measured, and I think it's measured not in thousands of years, but in multiples of that, and that's why I don't hold to a 6,000-year-old universe. But beyond that, I don't think that the Bible weighs in on the issue. I don't think the Bible tells us how old the universe is. And therefore, though the Bible gives us God's purposes in creation, I don't think it gives us a specific chronology of creation. And so if you want to find out the answer in terms of the age of the universe, you have to look at God's imprimatur in general revelation.
What about the basic 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest, just the full week?
Well, again, Christians are divided as to whether these are six 24-hour days or whether this is a structure by which we can remember God's creative prowess. Now, those who think that these are literal 24-hour days, I don't think read the Bible literally, because if you look at the first 3 days, the way that they're posited is as literal solar days, even though they come before the advent of the sun on the fourth day. I take this language literally, but not as a chronology of creation, but as a hierarchy of creation. In other words, God is chirologically, or he's showing his purposes in creation rather than giving us a timetable for creation. And that's consistent with a reading of the book of Genesis in general, because Moses uses mnemonics so that people might not only hear but also remember. To that end, for example, he gives the structure of Genesis in such a way that you can remember it with the 10 fingers of your hands.
I think you should check out ChristianCreationMinistries.com.
Well, I'm familiar with these ministries.
I found that they explained it very well.
Well, I appreciate your perspective.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. My question is just about Jesus and how he paid for our sins. How is it that he, paid for our eternal punishment without suffering for eternity?
Well, I think the issue is not how long Jesus Christ suffered. I think the ultimate issue is, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the infinite God-man. In the incarnation, he is 100% God, 100% man. And as God, his suffering is sufficient to atone for the sins of the world. So I'm not looking at duration, I'm looking at the one who is suffering, and he is the infinite God-man.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you for your call, John. And I think this, again, is a, God bless you as well, I think this is an important point for all of us to recognize, that Jesus Christ suffered more than any man. He suffered more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind. And so when we think about his suffering, we're not only thinking about the agony that he endured physically, but we're also thinking about the fact that in his passion on the cross, he bore the sickness, the suffering, the emotional, the physical trauma of every single person who has ever lived upon the planet. And so that's why I say Jesus suffered more than any man, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
I have a question. I was wondering if you're familiar with the Dr. Louis De Jesus Ministries.
Yes.
He claims to be, as he puts it, the God-man, Christ Jesus, and I was shown his website last night, and they've got videos of people getting tattoos of the 666 because he claims that's a mark of prosperity. And my question is, those people that got those tattoos, if their eyes are open later and they come to know the true Christ Jesus, can they still be saved, or do they have the mark of condemnation?
Well, first of all, this guy's a false prophet, but the issue is not the mark that you have physically on your body, whether it's a tattoo or something else. You're identified with Jesus Christ by what you do and your worldview. In other words, what you do and your worldview identifies you in terms of who you belong to. So if you bear the mark of Christ, it doesn't mean that you have a physical mark on your forehead. Of course, if you read Revelation, the number 144,000 should be written on the foreheads of the followers of Jesus Christ. But no one thinks that has to do with a magic marker. It has to do with being identified with Jesus Christ. And we know precisely if someone is identified with Jesus Christ by what they do and their worldview. That's a dead giveaway. So it doesn't require a tattoo. But the same is true in reverse as well. You know those who are identified with Antichrist, not because of a physical mark, but what they do and their worldview identifies them in terms of who they belong to.
Right. Okay.
Makes sense?
Makes perfect sense. One other thing, on the age of the earth,
yeah.
I don't think the age of the earth matters. I think the Bible tells us that all of creation speaks of the Creator, and that's all that truly matters.
Well, that's right. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So it's absolutely true that if you look at creation, you know there's a Creator. But God has also written a knowledge of Himself on the tablet of our heart. But that does not in any way suggest that we should not be students of God's book of nature. Of course we should. And we should be good students of the book of nature just as we are good students of the Bible. If we don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, we're going to give a false testimony to the world. The same is true with respect to general revelation. If we don't know how to do science well, people who are involved in the sciences are going to discount our testimony. Far from discounting our testimony, however, we should be able to use our testimony as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth, the love, the grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart.
I agree. I just don't think we will ever pinpoint an exact age of the earth, and so I don't think trying to say it's 6,000 years old or 6 billion years old is the issue.
Well, and I think from a biblical standpoint, you're absolutely correct, and that's why I say that the book of Genesis is given us chirology, not chronology. In other words, it's giving us the purposes of God in creation as opposed to a chronology or a timetable for creation. I write about all of that and so much more in the Creation Answer book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Poetry has the power to convert or provoke a serious reorientation of one's beliefs and values. While this power has often been used to promote error, Christians in the past have utilized it to illuminate spiritual truth, and a new generation of Christian poets is doing so today. Find out what poetry has to do with evangelism in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online at equip.org. or by calling 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. You know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong and prepared for even greater ministry in 2013. To give, please go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Sean, listening in Topeka, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sean.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yes, Hank, I got a question for you. I just heard on the radio about the age of the earth. Now, here's my dilemma. I heard on the radio, on Bot Radio the other morning, I'm not going to say the preacher's name, but he said that it's in the presence of God, one day is 1,000 years. And when you just said that a second ago that it's one, you believe that the earth was built in one solar day. And my dilemma is this is how churches get into arguments back and forth. One says one's wrong, one says another's wrong. I've never heard you say somebody is wrong unless they're absolutely wrong, but that's my dilemma. So what do you believe?
Well, I'm not saying that the universe was created in a solar day. I'm saying that the days of creation are given as solar days, which is to say that if you look at day one, Day one is expressed as morning and evening the first day. The same is true with day two and day three, although the sun, moon, and stars were not created until day four. So all I'm suggesting is that the grid given to us is given to us in solar days, but not to give us a chronology of creation, rather to give us a way of remembering each day of the week that God is the creator of all things. So Moses is giving his hearers a way in which they can not only hear but remember, so that the information is imprinted on the canvas of their consciousness. And that further is why I explained that he put together in an oral culture the book of Genesis in such a way that people might not only read but also remember. And so he puts it together in such a way that you can remember the main themes with the 10 fingers of your hands, from my primeval history to the patriarchs. So I'm simply saying it's intentional so that we remember God's purposes in creation. It's not intentional so that we have a chronology of creation.
Okay, I understand. Okay, I got that part. Okay. Well, I got another question for you then. Here where I live, Topeka, Kansas, and you go to a church, and the church, Baptist church, will go, well, don't believe what the Pentecostals say because they're wrong. That's, I guess my question is who do you believe then?
Well, I think there's a couple of things here, and you're bringing up a very important point. I think the first thing to recognize is that in essentials we ought to have unity, which is to say there are those essential Christian doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. We can't compromise on that. For example, we can't compromise on the deity of Jesus Christ. That is an essential of essentials. We cannot compromise on the nature of God. We cannot compromise on the way of salvation, the fact that we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. These are things that cannot be compromised. When it comes to eschatology, we cannot compromise on the fact that Jesus is going to return again. But the meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation is something that we can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide over. Likewise, there are other secondary issues, and those secondary issues may be important, but they're not deal breakers. So, for example, you bring up Pentecostalism. Pentecostalism says tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I disagree with that. In fact, I disagree with that strongly. But that's still a secondary issue, and therefore I can debate that issue vigorously with my Pentecostal friends, but it doesn't break our fellowship. But if a Mormon comes along and says, Jesus is not the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the creator of all things, then I have to say that's a deal breaker. Now, while I would disagree with them and say this is an essential and therefore you are no longer communicating Christian theology, you're not in the pale of orthodoxy, but you're in the kingdom of the cults, I still have to treat that person with dignity and respect in hopes that with the love that I demonstrate, the life that I demonstrate, I'm able to reach them with my lips as well. So
Okay. That's
why we always say in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity.
Okay, so churches are going to disagree. I understand that. Churches are going to disagree, and religions are going to disagree. So I guess we just have to disagree to disagree, but knowing that God created the earth for us to live in and just worship him, I guess I got to go by then, correct?
Well, again, let me summarize what I just said. What I said is that there are essential Christian doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. In other words, they are foundational to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're the North Star by which the church sets its course. And you can't compromise on those. But there are also many secondary issues. And those secondary issues, we can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide over. So in essentials, there has to be unity. In non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. So even if you're dealing with a cultist, you should do so with gentleness and with respect, with meekness and humility.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Hank. You helped me out a great deal, and I appreciate it. And God bless you for your ministry, and I really enjoy your radio station very much. And once again, thank you very much for your help, sir.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much for your call as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Casey next in Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Hank. I'm actually in Arlington, Washington.
Oh, in fact, that's exactly what it says on my screen. I had a senior moment.
That happens. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, about 20 minutes ago, you said that the Darwinian theory of evolution is getting ready to be upended. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So I was just curious if you had any specific examples from science that demonstrate that, because I just tend to hear it a lot, but I never hear anyone kind of follow it up with kind of what's happening in the science scene.
Yeah, well, one of the major reasons that I say that is because Darwin's tree of life has been uprooted by the Cambrian explosion. The Cambrian explosion shows that these body plans did not evolve one from the other, but are complete in and of themselves. So a theory is upended by fact. Not only so, but in The Origin of Species, Darwin speculated that bears might well evolve into whales. He said, "I see no difficulty in a race of bears being rendered by natural selection more and more aquatic in their structure and habits, with larger and larger mouths, till a creature was produced as monstrous as a whale." Well, in contrast to Darwin, you got to remember that contemporary Darwinists hold that hippo-like animals evolved into whales. Now, the question is, again, is that a whale of a tail? In other words, does it correspond to reality, or is it just a story? And I would say it's a story, and here's why. And I've written about this in my book, The Creation Answer Book. To believe that hippo-like animals evolved into whales takes a lot of faith. Why? Because extant fossil transitions simply are missing. They're conspicuous by their absence. And therefore, belief in the evolutionary development of things like blowholes or sonar or diving mechanisms takes a lot of devotion, but doesn't take a lot in terms of practical evidence, because there is no evidence. And then you also have a molecular issue. Molecular evidence appears to be at odds with fossil evidence. In other words, fossil similarities point to hippos as first cousins of pigs. Molecular similarities position hippos as first cousins to whales. But in either case, it takes substantial faith to suppose that the similarities provide an adequate basis for neo-Darwinism. And I'll give you one more point on this same basic premise, and that is the notion that unguided, purposeless processes could transform the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale, and that in a mere 10 million years takes more faith than any of us should be able to muster.
Great. Well, thanks for answering. You got specific points in there. I guess I would just say that, you know, the Cambrian explosion's been known about for quite a while, and I don't see it uprooting the theory anytime soon.
Well, it does, because in the geological period that's designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly, and as I said before, they appear fully formed. In fact, Richard Dawkins, who is probably the best-known evolutionist on the planet today, said this. He said, "It is as though fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history." He's conceding that the evidence does not point to the evolutionary paradigm or the Darwinian paradigm, that the Cambrian explosion is giving us a different picture. So he has to discard the evidence and say, "I don't care about the evidence. I have great faith in Darwin."
Excellent. You know, I appreciate you taking the topic on. It's really an interesting debate, and I do like to hear about it. So please talk about it more often.
You got it.
I've written about a very thing in my book, The Creation Answer Book. The information I just gave you, direct from The Creation Answer Book. You can find it online at equip.org, bookstores everywhere.
I'll be sure to check it out. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I want to end the broadcast today by making a very specific and strong appeal for financial support for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Every December I do this because this is one of those make-it-or-break-it months. It is a month in which we make plans for the coming year, what stations we're going to be on, what stations we're not going to be on. And so if you have some of the Lord's resources, we ask you to consider investing those resources in the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up your telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Please be generous in the month of December. We need your support today more than ever, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And while you're on the web, do remember the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine, which no Christian home should be without. Get a one-year subscription to the journal for $35 plus a free promotional issue. That's 7 issues for only $35. You can subscribe online at equip.org and use the special offer code TRUTH. Thank all of you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here, Lord willing, all next week with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help equip you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Feel free to write us also at CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration.